Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving from Cuba. I am Greg the Dive Master. I'm with the Dive God. I'm with the PRC. We'll explain what that is here in just a bit. And my buddy Yul, who's our, he's like the man in charge, showing us around the island. Now, at the end of hour one, we're talking to Yanagua. Hinagua.
El Himagua.
Yeah. Himagua. Okay. And so I was going to let him go on and about his business. But then Yul said, hey, wait a minute. He sees what you're doing. He sees this Americano talking to him, asking him these questions, and Yul's helping to translate. And then you tell me that he wants to interview me?
Yes, he wants to ask you some questions to give you something back.
Is that what it is, or does he want to just maybe take over and do like Scuba Radio Cubano?
Well, he might be in the future. You never know.
So, Hinagua, the dive master.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe we can make this happen. All right, so what do you want to ask me? What does he want to ask me, Yul?
Okay, la primera pregunta, si le gustó Cuba.
Sí, que si le gustó Cuba. La primera pregunta que yo le hago a usted, que si le gustó Cuba.
Okay, what else if you like Cuba, first of all?
Yeah, of course, yes. Sí. Yeah, I love it. It's beautiful.
Sí, ahora la segunda, si es primera vez que viene.
Okay,
yeah,
I have no
first
idea.
First time in Cuba.
First time in Cuba. First time for sure, yes.
Que primera vez.
Yeah, uno. Yes, uno, first one. Number one, and I love it.
What do you think about the Cubans, the treatments that you're receiving from them, and the accommodations in general?
Yes, well, I love it. I mean, it's been really nice. We're at a nice little resort here and a little bed and breakfast place, and then we hung out on the beach, which was a bigger like dive resort or typical beach resort that you get somewhere in the Caribbean. We have to come back and play Cuban. Ask him if I would actually come off as Cuban to him, and I could stay at his place.
He's asking me, ¿qué tú crees si él viene ahora y te dice que él es cubano para quedarse en tu casa?
Do I look Cuban? No, I got to get rid of the beard.
Si él me dice que es cubano, yo sé si es cubano, ¿no? Porque tiene que tener identidad.
Whatever I sign, I see.
As soon as I see you, I will know that you're not Cuban.
Oh, that's what it is. I put off a vibe.
I will ask you for your ID also, and then what are you going to do?
Yes.
Sí, y ahora viene a mí como amigo.
He said, I'm your friend, and you're welcome to my house. I got that.
Exactly. He said that if you need it, you can come and stay in his house, and you don't have to pay nothing.
No money. Oh, look at you. You're the man. Yeah. All right. So, and see, I'm already starting to ask him the questions. What else does he want to know from me?
¿Qué más quiere saber de él? ¿Qué más quiere saber de él?
Que a qué lugar más ha ido aquí en Cuba, que llegó a Cuba. Si ha viajado a algún lugar.
Mm-hmm. He wants to know if you're planning to visit another other areas on the island like Trinidad or Varadero.
Yes, well, eventually on trip number two, when we come back next time, we'll have to go to more places, right, Yul?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah. So, well, we only saw just a small little sliver of what they have here in Cuba so far. Are you picking up this, Neil? What do you think? What about this culture exchange?
Man, this is incredible. The setting, here we are in this veranda looking out at the ocean, a nice cool breeze. We're getting served this amazing breakfast of every kind of fresh fruit and breads. And
what about Hinagua, the dive master in Cuba? He could start Scuba Radio Cuba.
He's the man, yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Is he a scuba diver? Does he go out in the water? Snorkel? Yeah, we're right by the beach. He even go in the water and like snorkel?
He doesn't like the water. No.
I don't know why. Why? Sharks? Give him the sign for the sharks? No.
Miedo a tiburones.
No, yo no, porque el trabajo y esas cosas a veces no da tiempo ir allá.
No, it's more because the work, you know, they don't have time to go to the beach.
Oh, I didn't have time to have fun.
Muchos años viviendo en mar, y cuando uno vive aquí pegado en mar, uno se baña ni en la playa.
So he's been living here for so many years that the beach is like normal for him. He doesn't see it like an attraction or like a time to spend.
Well, tell him if he's going to host Scuba Radio Cuba, he has to learn to dive or at least get out there and do some snorkeling so he can tell everybody about it here in Cuba.
The buceo para los cubanos.
If he wants my job.
Ah, sí, ya, tengo que aprender, pero ya mi edad, ya creo que es un poco
tarde. Maybe you can start Rum Radio.
Rum Radio, what might be an introduction to that.
Rum.
No,
for you.
Fumo, ni rum, no.
You're way too smart for that. That's for us goofy Americans.
Refresco, café.
Oh, café, okay, all right. So, you just
coffee radio.
Cuban radio, a little shot of that stuff, you're good to go for at least a few hours for sure. So, but who knows? Maybe we bring the dive guy down here next time and he'll take scuba diving. Would he do that if we took him? What do you think? See, culture, international incident, cultural exchange. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, he said that he would go with us.
Yeah, he said we do. Okay, all right, excellent.
Y pescaban y tenían catamarán para mis hijos, sí, aquí.
His sons, when they were here in Cuba, they had a catamarán, and they fish,
bueno,
and they snorkel.
Buenos buceadores, buenos buceanos, sí. Se conocían, mis hijos se conocían el mar completo. Todos se lo conocían.
Yeah, total. They
said that their sons, they knew every spot in the ocean, in the Caribbean, to fish and all that.
De niño en el mar.
Yeah, they just grew up on the water a little bit since they're little tiny boys. Got it. So what is the diving like right here? Is there not any diving where we're at on this side of the island there, Yol, or what?
Yes, it is, but also this area is a very, as you can see, the ocean is a little rough. But the reef is like 200 yards in. Like, you can swim from the shore. That's what I do when I'm here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I'm not taking people too late at night, I woke up early in the morning.
Americans like us, huh?
I woke up in the morning and go for a swim and go to the reef.
When he's traveling with us, he gets up early in the morning. When he's traveling with us, he goes to bed early in the morning.
Yeah, true. Exactly. That's just part of it. They have to do, I guess. But as far as there's no dive operations around here like it was at the other resort that we were on the other side of the island, on the south side, right?
Not a big one, but they have some smallest that the guys that you go and you talk to them and they will take you to diving. They have all the equipment and they have the catamarans.
But if you wanted to just stay here at the hotel we're at today, you couldn't just go out and do some snorkeling right there? Or you could.
Yes, you could.
It would be pretty good.
Out from the beach, you could go straight.
See some critters, God knows what else, right?
Yep.
Well, that'll be something to add to the list for our next little excursion here to Cuba because, you know, this was a little taste, kind of like a site inspection. We wanted to come out here with a dive guide and a couple folks from Guy Harvey's, the Guy Harvey Outpost Foundation and research folks and kind of see what they got here. Right, Neil?
Yeah, man, this place is amazing.
Yeah, so, but we're just kind of, you know, looking at the surface, scratching the surface, actually.
In the evening, you do your Havana Club. And your Cuban cigars, and in the morning you detox with your Cuban coffee.
Right.
That, the trouble in the morning after the second cup of Cuban coffee is trying to hold it steady enough to drink it. You know, your hands are shaking from the caffeine.
Yeah. Now, what about this Havana Club rum, since we got Yanagua here, too? And you're familiar with it. So we were drinking the 15-year, which is like, I don't know, $20 a shot, but it's like $300 a bottle or something. Quite smooth stuff. Does he like that at all, even though he doesn't drink it, or no?
He probably don't know what a 15-year-old Havana Club is.
But he knows what Havana Club is, period, right? Yeah, oh yeah.
¿Qué tipo de Havana Club hay? ¿Qué tipo de botella hay?
Está el 7 años, Ron, 7 años, añejo especial.
Special, he likes the special. The one that you were telling me about.
The one that he knows is 7 years and the añejo especial and all that, but not the 15.
15 is a little bit more higher shelf type stuff that you'll find at some of the tourist resorts, I guess. But do the locals drink that too, or is this a tourist thing? The Havana Club, period.
No, the locals can afford to drink Havana Club. Eggs. They might have once a year, they have a big party or birthday party or something. They would buy one bottle and they would share it in between all of them, you know. Yeah. But usually they drink as well, a little cheaper rums, made in Cuba also, but not Havana Club for sure.
Yeah. But that stuff does go down pretty smooth, but you probably do need the Cuban coffee to recover the next day.
Oh, yeah, you got to have the Cuban coffee the next day.
Yeah, now we were in Havana last night. We saw a big stage show, and that was where, Yol?
That was in Hotel Nacional. It's called the Parisian Show.
Yeah. And which means what?
It's like a show from Paris, is what it means.
The only thing that it was missing was Lucille Ball and Ricky Ricardo, because I thought they were going to come out there on stage. The guys had the big arms with the flowers on them. I mean, it was really cool. And the ladies had these big headdress things, looked like kind of aliens and fruit baskets and God knows what
else. You were looking at the heads, Greg?
Well, okay. There were a couple other things that might have drew my attention to, but you know, my wife might be listening right now. So I'm going to just focus on the headdresses for now. But that type of show, they have a few of those on the island there, especially here in Havana, right, Yol?
Yes, they do, but Hotel Nacional is one of the best ones, and also it's not as expensive as Tropicana.
Big famous one, right.
Most famous show in Cuba.
Obviously, there's a ton of stuff to do on your surface interval, but coming up, we are going to talk about what we found out as far as the diving is here in Cuba next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, this is Guy Harvey. You're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I am in Cuba. Now, you just heard Guy Harvey, and I'm with the man who works with Guy Harvey all the time, Mark Ellard. He's Grand Poobah of the PRC. I'm still not positive if we're allowed to, you know, describe exactly what the PRC stands for. What do you think, Mark?
It's the newest political party machine coming to the Caribbean. Right here, we're starting the revolution again from downtown Havana.
Yes, it is the party. That's what we've decided, and it stands for... we're going to pass on the... Well, the P stands for party. We'll just go with that. Rum and cigars. And
party,
D,
rum, and cigars.
BRCD, diving. And or dancing. Salsa. Who knows? But we've... We got a little gang that has invaded Cuba almost. It's kind of interesting in that regard. But let's talk about the diving that we experienced yesterday. We're literally in the square of downtown Havana right now, getting ready to sample one of their beers. Somebody just did a caricature.
Oh, look at that.
One of the Cubans, you know, they just walk up and they draw you. And there it is, me holding a microphone. That's pretty damn... I don't have a nose that big. Do I, Mark? What's going on with that?
That's in Spanish, that's called a schnoz.
All right. Well, we'll have to get that up on the web, take a picture of that, and give that lady a nice little tip. But that's what they do. They just walk around and start taking your picture with a pen and paper. I don't know. But anyway, back to the diving, because Mark did some diving with us as well as the dive god there at the resort yesterday. What'd you think? What'd you see under there? What'd you think it was like?
Well, I have to tell you, the resort was a fabulous destination. From my perspective, exceeded all expectations. I thought the diving was superior. Certainly, I can understand why people come from all over the world to enjoy the diving there on the west end of the island.
Yeah, you know, and I got to say, we only did one dive because we had so much to see here in Cuba. But and the seas were a little bit rough, but it reminded me of some of the underwater caverns that we've seen in Andros. Did you find that similarity there, Neil, or what do you think?
Yeah, the diving was very similar to Andros. Also, it reminded me a lot of Walker's Cave with the caverns, you know, and the swim-throughs. And the coral was very healthy, you know. Saw a couple of lionfish, so they're everywhere, man. You can't get away from them.
Yeah, but it was very dramatic as far as some swim-throughs and tunnels and things that we kind of went through and played around with. I didn't see any big, big fish on the dive we did, but once again, we only saw one. And they have like 32 dive sites at this one resort that are literally within like a five-minute boat ride, if that. You could probably snorkel to them. On the surface from the beach, if they let you. I don't know if they do that too, but it was very close to shore, all the dive sites they had mapped out there at the dive resort. And obviously, the viz, it was stirred up a little bit on our dive, but they say it's typically like gin clear. And when we arrived at the resort, it was flat calm, and it looked gin clear when we just walked out to the dock. For the boat, where the boat was docked, you look right to the bottom, could see stingrays, God knows what else. So I would imagine just the snorkeling off the resort would be spectacular. You think there, Neil?
Yeah, absolutely. As far as the visibility here, again, we did one dive, but my son, Neil Jr., was diving at the same resort a couple months ago, and he raved about the visibility. He just said it was spectacular, so... it was flat the day we got there. The visibility looked just spectacular. The wind had picked up a little bit on the second day that when we went out, and I think that probably stirred it up some.
Yeah, and the dive masters even said, he goes, yeah, the vis is down a little bit. This is, not the norm. But, you know, you take what you get sometimes when it comes to the weather. And if we would have had more time to dive, we obviously would have probably experienced more of that gin clear water. However, it was still great. It was a fun dive. Now, one of the things you might want to take into consideration if you're coming to Cuba is they do have, you know, the platforms. The dive boats were just first class, some of the best we've seen in the Caribbean. The dive gear was Scuba Pro. They had great VCs. You know, they're using the bar system, so us U.S. citizens, if we can't make that conversion as easily as others, you might want to consider bringing your own rig and pressure gauge and dive computer, maybe a mask. But you can use their BC and fins and all that kind of stuff. Save on weight if you so choose. But the BCs and everything I definitely thought were good. But like I said, if you're not comfortable making that bar transition, you might want to bring your own depth gauge.
Meters.
Meters, yeah. And all that kind of stuff. But I get the meters. You just go three. So max depth was 25 meters on our first dive. So 75 feet thereabouts. And we were good to go. Had a 45-minute dive. And it's follow the leader. So the dive guide takes you around, and everybody follows him along, and he shows you some things and stuff like that. So it's very, at least at that one particular resort, and from what they told us, most of the diving around Cuba is very much on a guided type of setup. So it's not like you just jump in the water and do what you want. They kind of take you around, hold you by the hand a little bit, and show you what they have underwater here in Cuba. So, I mean, how would you rate it overall, just from the one dive, Neil? That's not really a fair sampling, I guess. You think?
Well, it was certainly a 7 or 8. It was a really nice dive, and it's the deeper dives. The dive masters lead the groups. They split you into like 4, and take the dive master down with you, which is kind of nice. You know, you're not sure where you're at and where you're going, so they lead the group, make sure everybody does the deco stop and stuff. So it's very professionally done. And I mean, the coral formations are just spectacular. So it was a great dive. I mean, I look forward to doing the other 30 sites.
Absolutely, and you know, talking to the Cuban dive guides, they said there is quite a few things that you can see here underwater, as you would expect, especially an island this big. The weather plays a factor, but there are some other places that you can go that are quite good as far as the diving is concerned. Now, where are we at right now? Does anybody know? Because Yoel, our fearless leader, has disappeared.
Plaza Vieja. We're in Plaza Vieja.
This is actually
old town.
We're actually in a Cuban brewery, and the reason I know this is because I see these big tall tubes of beer that they sit down in the middle of the table, just like some other places you go to, or your local brewery that you'd have around the corner there in the States. They got the same kind of thing going on here in Cuba. And, they got some people that have steins of beer and that kind of thing. So I think we're going to sample some of this stuff and see what we can sample as far as beer, as far as some food and that kind of thing. Who is our artist? Get her name. What's your name?
Lillian.
And you do this all day? Draw pictures of all the folks that kind of cruise through Cuba or what?
Todo el día.
Yeah, muy poquito.
Yeah. You drew my nose too big.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mine too.
Everybody's nose.
It's beautiful.
My nose is beautiful. Yeah, she knows how to suck up. See, they brown nose in Cuba just like they do in the States when they want a tip. God bless her. Very nice to meet you. Excellent work. And once again, we'll get those pictures up at scubaradio.com for you to make fun of my nose as well.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving, flying, and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving, flying, and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why I wanted to tell you about Nanook Professional Protective Cases. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook cases generally cost less than similar products currently on the market. From an iPhone to a full set of dive gear, whatever you need to shield from the elements, Nanook Professional Protective Cases has the size, shape, and color for you. Go to Nanook.com. That's Nanook.com for Nanook Professional Protective Cases. The evolution of protection.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me, or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
We are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I'm in Cuba, and we're at a marina, I believe, of Ernest Hemingway or something. Is that right, Neil, or do you even know?
It's the Hemingway Marina, which is very, very famous for years and years and years and years. It's kind of in a disrepair situation right now.
Yeah, the Old Man in the Sea Hotel, it looks like it's closed. I don't know what's going on, y'all. Do you know?
I don't know what's really going on, but yeah, definitely it's closed. It looks like it's under construction or some kind of maintenance, but it's clogged with chain and a locked part. But also they have another accommodations on the marina. As we can see, they have a yacht club over here, and they have some, looks like there are nicest accommodations in this area. So
yeah, we're at the, International Hemingway Club Nautico. Bar and marina or something. But there's a bunch of yachts out here. There's some, I would imagine, some fishermen and boaters out here hanging out in Cuba. And, you know, we're just chilling out after spending some time downtown in Havana again. All the shops. I'm just blown away at, you know, when you walk up and down the streets of Havana, it's just unique. I've never seen this anywhere in the world of all our travels. It's you have this old Baroque type building. Some of it's in disrepair, and then you'll come across a real nicely refurbished hotel, but it still has a classic Spanish architecture or something. But that's what it's like all over the country. A lot of up and down type of structures like that. Is that right, y'all?
Yes, what happened is the structure that the government used for tourism, they try to keep it a little nicer in the different from the people that owns it. When it's a residential building, then the people don't have the money or the resources to fix it or maintenance, and then the building is just fall apart until that's it. People have to move out, and then the government maybe got it and rebuild and make another tourism facility, like stores or shopping centers.
Or a hotel. I mean, the hotels, some of them look like museums. They really do. Refurbished museums. But it's pretty cool, and obviously we're enjoying our surface interval, and we got more to cover next right here from Cuba on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
This is a show that I feel has depth to it.
Has depth to it?
It has depth. It has depth. And density too.
Many, many layers of solid entertainment here.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We're in Cuba, and I'm hanging with Mark Ellert, by the way, who's part of the Guy Harvey Outpost. Folks, and we're at this marina, so, you know, Neil didn't know a whole lot about the marina here. Do you, being, you know, Mr. Fisherman with Guy Harvey there, Mark, or what?
Well, this is the Hemingway Marina.
Right.
Just outside of downtown Havana.
There's old men, and there's the sea. Is that pretty much it, or what?
And there's some cerveza, and we're enjoying a beautiful sunset.
Yeah, so the hotel is closed, the Old Man in the Sea. Do you know anything about the rest of the facility here with your Guy Harvey connections, or not so much?
From what I understand, this is mostly a residential community that serves the yachting community with a lot of available slips for the international boating community. You know, power boats, we can see motor cruisers, mega yachts, sport fishermen and the like, and the marina headquarters here is the yacht club.
Yeah, I saw some Guy Harvey stuff on the wall, so maybe he's been here, or are they affiliated because of the International Fishing Hall of Fame there in Florida, or what?
The Commodore here of Club Nautico is a very well-respected person in the marine and fishing industries. I don't know if Guy's been here, to tell you the truth, but obviously they have his art. They have certificates from many different yacht clubs, marine associations, yacht club burgees. Clearly, this is where all the private vessels coming into Cuba weigh anchor, and they tie up and weigh anchor. So It's a lot of history.
Well, what do you know about the fishing here? Is it as great as it was back in the day with Hemingway, or do you get reports of them catching massive marlin here in Cuba still back in the States, or do we know?
Well, it's just the other side of the Florida Straits, so the fishing is reported to be very good here. Now, of course, it's very deep water right here off the north coast of Havana. We're 90 miles south of Key West, as they say, so it's basically the same water. They have the Hemingway Blue Marlin tournament here every year. I think it's usually around the first week in June, last week in May, and that's a big game blue water tournament that boats come from all over the world to participate in. And this year, I suspect, there'll be a lot more interest by Americans because of the relaxation in the laws regarding bringing vessels in from the United States.
Well, there you go. That makes sense. So, obviously, we're covering the diving element. Mark's a diver as well, but he's doing a little recon for his Guy Harvey fishing folk and that kind of thing. Now, some of these boats we're seeing down in the marina, do you recognize any of them back in South Florida, or would you offhand?
No, can't say I recognize any of them. Obviously, we have a large group right next to us,
yep,
all speaking English and obviously Americans. But I'm intrigued. This is my first visit, obviously, and I noticed down at the end of this road here, at the end of the Finger Canal, there's a signpost that says Diving Center. So there may even be a dive operator here at the end of the canal we may have to go check out.
Yes, we may have to see what's going on, because we've been diving on the south side. We've been talking to some of the dive operators, or the dive masters were telling us about some of the other diving hotspots, but I don't think they mentioned this area as being one of the hotspot diving places in Cuba. Do you think?
No, they certainly didn't. Varadero Beach, which is obviously to the other side of Havana, more of a destination resort area, has a couple dive operators. They acknowledge the conditions there are not that great because the water tends to be pretty shallow. Have no idea what the conditions might be here in this area, but I guess that's why we'll stop in and check it out.
Yeah, what do you know, Yol? What are your Cuban contacts telling you about the diving here off the... We're off the north side of Cuba right now, right?
Yes. Actually, no. I have no most information about the diving in Hemingway Marina. I didn't hear nobody talking about that it was a big diving center here. So I'm same pace that you are. We're going to find out.
Yeah, we're basically on a scouting mission. We're site inspections, you know, trying to figure out as much as we can, because, you know, information in the States is kind of few and far between, other than, you know, getting online and doing a Google search and that kind of thing. But until you get here and see what they have as far as, you know, accommodations, infrastructure, getting around in these classic cars, which is truly unique in its own right, you kind of have to get some people on the ground, I guess. And that's what we're doing, right?
That's it. We're landing on the beach, and we're moving inland from there.
It's an invasion.
So to speak.
The PRC.
The invasion of the new committee, the PRC.
It stands for?
Party Republic Central.
Okay. We can talk about the rum and cigars. And then we added a D for diving or dancing.
Musica and fishing.
Exactly.
We've got it all. We've got all the bases covered here in Cuba.
Now, potty is, Mark is kind of taking the reins as the grand poobah of the PRCD. I don't know, Neil, what role were you taking? I'm like in charge of public relations. Is that what you've dubbed me or knighted
Correct.
Me?
Propaganda.
I think it's a knighting. Do you have any idea what your role is in this group there, Neil, or no?
My role is just following Yol around, man. He's the man. Well, I tell you what, he did make one slip up.
Uh-oh, I mean, what did he do?
Well, last night, you remember, we're doing some bar hopping and checking out the local... facilities and whatever, and we go into the one club to see how the entertainment was, and everybody was laughing, but it was a Cuban comedy club, and obviously the comics were speaking English, Spanish, and
we knew they were telling jokes because there are a lot of rim shots.
Yeah, well, they were telling jokes, and we looked awful funny when we came in.
Yeah.
But they were laughing a lot.
And actually, we probably should have went in there just to see if we could have laughed at the right time. I mean, because they did have this guy on the drums, and I heard the rim shot happening like every 10 seconds or so. And then we could have played along and, you know, I'm sure he would have pulled us up on stage and we would have become the act. I might have upstaged him just a tad if we would have walked in there. But yeah, Cuban comedy, they got everything.
We did get some dancing lessons in last night.
We did. We saw them. They attempted. I can't believe. Yeah. What happened to our salsa dancer? He's in charge. Yeah, he's like the cruise director of the club. Is that the deal? But he kind of dropped the ball last night a little bit in that regard, didn't he?
Well, we're going to make Dr. Ram our activities director in charge of social science.
Social science. Yeah, that's a that would make sense.
Samba science.
Samba, salsa science, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Mahmood is, you know, and Mahmood, come in here a little bit. Let's talk a little bit more specifically about what you do for, you know, Guy Harvey and that kind of thing. Because in all seriousness, when you're not, you know, doing social science like salsa dancing and that kind of thing and mixing with the Cubanos down here, you really are doing really good marine science with sharks is your main thing. Is that what it is with Guy?
Well, I run the Guy Harvey Research Institute, which is based at Nova Southeastern University in South Florida. And sharks is certainly one of our big topics for research, all the way from looking at shark migrations, looking at how the fins, how the fin trade operates, and including a lot of genetics work on shark stocks. But that's not all we do. We do a lot of work on billfish, and that work includes, again, looking at billfish migrations. That's a big interest of ours.
And you would expect that with Guy's work. You know, that's what he's really known for, you know, nationally and internationally, is his billfish artwork and all the, and even some of the marine science he's done with that. But I didn't know about the shark stuff. Hey, you're tracking tiger sharks. You were telling me which one?
We do a lot of work on makos. We've done a lot of work on tiger sharks.
Makos. And what about that? Are they cruising? Are you tracking things? Are you finding them cruise through Cuba close to shore here, or not so much?
Yeah, you know, in fact, one of our tagging sites is right off of Mexico, of Cancun, a place called Isla Mujeres, and we've had two of our mako sharks that have been captured in Cuban fisheries and landed on in Cuba. So there's a close connection. Those sharks don't belong to Mexico, of course. They're moving all over the Gulf of Mexico, and sometimes, unfortunately, they end up being caught.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I don't know. Do we have resident Cuban sharks, or do we know? You're tracking them. You're marking them where? All over the world, or one particular area, and then following them on their path, or what?
We work on shark migrations, shark tracking in quite a few places around the world. The Gulf of Mexico, the Caribbean, the U.S. East Coast, off the East Coast of Africa, off South America, off Western Australia. So it's certainly not one place. And as far as Cuban sharks go, there's not much known about them, really. But things like makos, for example, are highly migratory. Tigers move big distances, so they don't belong to Cuba or the United States or Mexico.
They belong to the world, and they might just stop and visit, kind of like we are this week. And we got more coming up from Cuba next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Do you have a compelling story of what inspired you to become a PADI diver or PADI professional? Has your PADI certification changed your life, relationship, or career in some unique way? The Professional Association of Diving Instructors wants to share your story to inspire others to start, keep, or teach diving. For more information, please visit PADI.com/my story. That's PADI.com/my story. And thanks for choosing Paddy, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
These are the Cubans, baby. These are the Cohibas, the Monte Cristos.
Come on down to Cuba. Come play in the sand. We can drink and go scuba. We'll make love out on the beach and then we'll.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. He's not my girl. He's my dive buddy in Cuba. I'm talking about the dive god, Neil Watson. Yes, I am honored. I am, I'm tickled pink, as we say in the PRCD. Now, Neil, you were telling me, as we were talking to Mahmoud during the commercial break, that he actually not only tracks these sharks, these makos and things, but he has some DNA stuff. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, Mahmoud was explaining to me on the plane actually flying down here that he's perfected a procedure where when there is the occasional isolated shark bite or incident, even including fatalities, if they can find a piece of the tooth. And there's always confusion. Was it a great white shark? Was it a bull shark? Was it a mako shark? Whatever. And nobody's been able to tell for sure. And Mahmoud apparently has developed a procedure where, with DNA of the shark, he can tell the species of the shark, which is really amazing.
That would put some of our scientific friends, or so-called scientific friends, out of business if this became a new standard for shark bite analysis there, Mahmoud. So I'm a fan. Sounds very intriguing to me. What's the story with that? Is that, do you actually have to have a physical piece of the tooth?
Well, if you're going to use DNA, you need some part of the shark. And so what happened about, I think going back about 3 years ago, there was some shark bites in the Seychelles. And, you know, the Seychelles is a big tourism place, so that was not a good thing. And one of the individuals died. But what they did was they found a tiny fragment of a tooth left in his flesh.
Aha.
And it wasn't a whole tooth. It was just a tiny sliver. And they asked me if we could get some DNA from it, and I said, well, probably not. I said, well, why don't you try? I said, well, okay. And they sent me the tooth sliver. I looked at it. I said, forget it. This is not going to work. Then, so funny story, I took it to my dentist, my personal dentist.
Yeah.
And it turns out that my dentist is a shark fanatic. He loves sharks. And he said to me, well, you know, bring it over here. And he took a CAT scan off that tiny sliver. And he said, I think there's a tiny little bit of dentin that I can see here. And dentin has DNA. Enamel does not have DNA.
Uh-huh.
He drilled into this little bit that he saw in the CAT scan, and he gave me a few grains of powder and said, there's some dentin. I said, come on, you know, this is not going to work.
Right.
Took him back to the lab, and we actually got DNA.
And how about that? And so what kind of shark was it?
And that turned out to be a bull shark. Now, that's not always a surprise, but they took photographs of the shark bite to a bunch of shark experts, and they came back with a conclusion that it was a white shark.
Of course. You proved it with DNA that it was a bull shark. So there you go. That's information we need to know. You know, as tragic as that stuff is, you know, the problems with the sharks and people sometimes and the negative press that accompany it, you need to know what you're dealing with to be able to curb those incidents or curtail them a bit, I guess, right?
Right, absolutely. You know, that information is important because you need to know what shark is involved. Because what they were doing in the Seychelles is that they were going out there trying to catch white sharks and kill them. And, you know, it would have been the wrong animal, the wrong species entirely.
And it wouldn't have solved the problem even if it was a great white shark. But at least now you've kind of changed the game for them a little bit and say, look, you weren't even doing the right stuff. So let's back off that plan and maybe look at some other elements that might have played a factor and fixed it. So is this going to be a new standard with DNA tracking? So the shark community, are they all aware of this? Are you guys talking amongst yourselves dealing with this kind of stuff now or what?
Yeah, well, you know, that story ended up in the news, in the British news and the Seychelles news. And so the word started to spread that if there was a shark bite and there was a piece of tooth left, then we could figure it out using DNA as opposed to just looking at the shark bite.
Very nice. Now, what about from Guy Harvey's Institute's standpoint, what do you think is going on here in Cuba, or what do you want to do scientifically?
Now, you know, I came here along with the rest of the team to look at the coral reefs and try and also look at what was going on here with sharks. But really, the coral reefs are in really good shape. The hard corals, the soft corals, the sea whips, the sponges, they're in really, really good shape compared to quite a few other places that I've gone diving. And I think very likely that's the result of that area that we were diving having been protected from fishing since, I think, 1984.
What about specific species? Are you on the lionfish bandwagon where you're trying to find ways to curtail that or see what kind of impact they're having here in Cuba, or what do you think?
You know, there have been a ton of studies looking at the impacts of lionfish, and a lot of people have done diet studies, and they've certainly seen lionfish eating all kinds of smaller fish, lots of fish larvae, and they haven't invaded for long enough for anybody to be able to really quantify the damage, but it's extremely unlikely that they're not affecting the ecosystem in a big way. Controlling them is a big issue. There are no answers as yet.
It sounds like more research is going to have to be done here in Cuba, which means more trips down here, you think?
Well, I think that would be certainly the case.
You'd have to come here. You wouldn't argue with me on that. And, of course, you'll hear about it right here on the big show. All right, Neil, there you go. We were in Cuba. We marked it off the list.
Well, the first trip is marked off.
That's right.
There's
more to come. Joel, thank you so much for keeping us out of jail.
You're very welcome, my friend.
It was a cultural exchange and ended up not being an international incident. Well, we'll let you know next week because we haven't got back in the States yet. And on that note, we'll leave it till next time. Remember, it's always better. Where, Neil?
Down where it's wetter.
Same diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.